But then, unfortunately, I got made redundant. So was one of the people, many people affected by that over the last few years. I was sitting, it's like that very stereotypical story. I was sitting on my living room floor and thought, I wonder if people want to know about careers, if people want to know how to write a good CV or answer interview questions, and started uploading some videos on Instagram, called myself Spillane Consulting, because I'm like, well, I guess I have a better have a business name. So I just use my surname, Consulting, to sound legitimate. I'm like, I better put consulting. That sounds professional. And yeah, just started doing videos on how to interview, how to write a CV, both on Instagram and TikTok. And I think it was maybe 1 or 2 months, my accounts grew to over 10,000 followers. So I thought, right, okay, people clearly want to know about this stuff.
Hello, and welcome to the Brand My Career podcast. I'm your host, Alex Cutterford, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. My goal is to help you take ownership of your career. Find your people through personal branding and networking, and take career-enhancing action. Managing your life and career can be hard. That's why every fortnight, I'll be releasing an episode where I interview a diverse range of guests that will help you find clarity and build confidence in your career. Let's get into it.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the Brand My Career podcast. Today, I have Chloe Spillane with me, who is from Sydney but currently living in New York and building her business. So really excited to have you on today, Chloe.
Thank you for having me, Alex. Excited to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. So you're a career coach helping job seekers and career builders, but you're also now embarking on some new adventures building Chloe AI, the career coach assistant. So yeah, really, when I saw your posts on LinkedIn and came across you, I thought, I really want to chat to you because this sounds really interesting, and it's obviously a space that's evolving and changing and comes with a whole lot of controversy and excitement and fear, and every emotion probably circulates AI. So really excited to chat with you today about what you're up to.
Yeah, no, definitely looking forward to it, and hopefully reducing the fear of AI in people's minds.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Do you maybe just want to start by introducing yourself to my audience, what it is that you do, but I guess a bit of your career story and what's led you to what you're doing now?
Absolutely. So I always love to start with, my career journey has not been linear at all. I actually started off wanting to be an actor, got an acting degree, thought that was going to be my journey. Went and did a bit of a Bachelor of Arts, deferred that, thought I was going to be a journalist, didn't happen at all. Then I actually got into sales and travel, which was great. Spent 3.5 years working for Flight Centre, which I loved, but realised that I still wanted to follow the sales journey, but there was just something missing for me, and fell into recruitment. So it was just one thing after the other, really. Spent some time in recruitment, fell in love with that whole process of working with people, helping people with their careers, find jobs. But then I found I loved working for one brand and getting people into an organization. So I moved on to talent acquisition, which is more that I was recruiting for one business and one business only. But then, unfortunately, I got made redundant. So was one of the people, many people affected by that over the last few years. I was sitting, it's like that very stereotypical story. I was sitting on my living room floor and thought, I wonder if people want to know about careers, if you want to know how to write a good CV or answer interview questions, and started uploading some videos on Instagram, called myself Spillane Consulting, because I'm like, well, I guess I have a better have a business name, so I just use my surname, Consulting, to sound legitimate. I'm like, I better put consulting, that sounds professional. And yeah, just started doing videos on how to interview, how to write a CV, both on Instagram and TikTok. And I think it was maybe 1 or 2 months, my accounts grew to over 10,000 followers. So I thought, right, okay, people clearly want to know about this stuff. And it was an interesting time, because after I got made redundant, I went for a few interviews for talent acquisition manager roles, what I was doing, and I got offered the job. And I'm glad I can say that I was offered every job I went for, because that means that I know what I'm doing as a career coach. I should be getting the jobs. But I turned them all down because it was just not really speaking to me. I don't know. Maybe sounds a little bit cliche, but it just wasn't lighting that fire inside of me. It just felt like I was moving on to the next thing. Yeah, I was going to pay the bills, which obviously is important, but I just felt I needed something more, which is why I took that huge risk, turning down those job opportunities that would have set me up. And I dived straight into making Career Coach Chloe a thing. Took on 4 jobs, casual jobs.
Mm-hmm.
to support myself. I was waiting tables. I was driving around a van for events. Literally, I had like a little white shirt and pants. I have never driven a van in my life, but I was driving this van just to get, you know, get some extra cash and just doing event work and things like that. And did that for a few months. And after a few months, I started actually generating income and revenue with Career Coach Chloe. Gosh, it's almost been 2 years now, and here we are. And I started with Career Coach Chloe, purely focusing on helping people with their careers in their job search. And now, of course, after doing that for some time, I'm now expanding into the AI space and how people can leverage that to get even further ahead, simplify their careers, like their job search, sorry, and get ahead of the competition. Because as I'm sure we'll get into, AI is moving faster and faster. And if you're not jumping on the train, you're going to be left behind. So
yeah,
trying to educate people and get people, I guess, show people how it can benefit them moving forward. Yeah. So that was quite long-winded, but that's a little bit about me and my backstory and how I got here today.
Yeah. No, I love hearing those stories and just all the different twists and turns, and that it isn't like progression isn't linear, in that, you know, you're always getting the next higher or perceived higher level job and things like that. And sometimes you take a step back to take a step forward, or to, like you're saying, like if it's not feeling aligned with your values and your purpose and stuff. And so you turn down. I was similar. Before applying for the current job that I'm in. So I applied for three jobs, got interviews with all three, and I was the same. I was like, good, yeah, like I am actually able to practice what I preach. But then I did get a job offer, and I got it on the day that I was. So I'd said to my wife, like, I'll make sure I've secured a job before I quit the one I'm in. I'm not going to like leave this high and dry, like in a precarious situation. But then it was getting to a point where I was like, I'm ready to make the move that I need to do. And then on the day that I got called up in the morning, got offered a job. And when getting offered it, I was like, there was just something that felt off. And I was like, actually, I don't think this, I got this sense that they were in more of a survival mode than a place that I was actually going to be able to go and grow, and I was mainly looking for growth opportunities and learning opportunities. So I was like, that doesn't feel right. So I turned it down and then quit that same day. And so, but it was just this thing of like, sometimes there's just a moment where you just know it's off, and you need to stick to what you're after and what you believe in and stuff. So, and then I was waiting on the job that I was really holding out on, and they kept me waiting like an extra week longer than anticipated, and then I got the job offer, and I was like, paid off.
Thank God. Phew. I think it's such a good point that you bring up. I just want to like touch on that whole thing of the high risk potential reward. I think a lot of the time in our careers and our career journey, it is hard to take a risk. Like, I'm not going to lie and say, when I turned down those job offers and tried to pursue my own thing, I was terrified. Like, I knew that it was a massive risk to take. And I think, you know, a lot of the time we're scared to do that. And sometimes it is just about really backing yourself. And I feel sometimes if you're in these situations where it's high risk, you know, the reward that you are seeking, you have even more pressure to make that happen and to make that work. And look, for yourself, like, that worked out, you ended up getting the job you were holding out for, but of course you dived in like in a high risk situation, and it might not have worked out, but you would have figured it out anyway. Like, I think a lot of time we're so scared as to what might happen if it doesn't work out, but that kind of will often overshadow what could happen if it does work out. And it's a scary place to be in, but it's generally going to be the place that gets you the biggest reward if you are willing to take that risk, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So with all of your online content and stuff and your engagement, what are the sort of number one questions that people sort of always come back to again when in that sort of job seeking space?
For sure. I think the biggest struggle people have, especially now, is getting their application seen and through the door. You know, I was talking to a client this morning, and every job she was applying for had upwards of 500 applicants. And she's going, how am I going to get noticed? Like, how am I going to get seen if there's already been 400, 500 people that have applied before me? And this is, and I will say this, I guess it comes down to a couple of things here. Because of AI and because of how more quickly people can produce a job application, people are using apps online, and just, you know, you can apply for 10, 20, 30 jobs in a week because of AI. It makes it so much faster for you. So companies have been inundated with job applications, and then people that perhaps aren't, you know, on the AI bandwagon, they're getting left behind. Yeah, that definitely, going back to that question as to what it is about getting their job application seen and actually getting through the door, because people have qualifications, they have the experience, but it's like they're not getting seen because it's too much of a competitive market. Definitely how to get a successful application would be the biggest one. I always get asked, like, are cover letters necessary? And I get it. Cover letters are a pain to write. Like, no one likes writing a cover letter.
Yeah,
but they would be probably the biggest ones. And then when people are getting through to interview stages, you know, answering like common interview questions and that. But I think people's biggest struggle is actually getting in the interview room in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. So a tactic that I often take is, rather than going wide, I sort of hone in on really what is the actual jobs that I really want and hone in. And I end up applying for minimal, but typically do well in terms of callbacks. What's your thinking around that? Is that this one approach that you recommend, or is it what approach do you take?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that method. I'm always going to say quality over quantity. Some people may disagree and say, no, you've got to get out 100 applications in a week and you'll get a higher success rate. But I, similar to what you've said, I will always recommend to be really specific with the roles that you're applying for, like be quite particular and picky, because when you are being more selective as to the roles you're applying for, you can spend more time on the actual application and your actual application strategy. So, you know, you might have a short list, you might do a long list of 50 jobs, you might cut that down to 20 jobs, 10 jobs, and then you have the time to spend as much time as possible on each of those applications, because it's more than just putting together an excellent resume, cover letter, LinkedIn against that job. It's like, okay, what am I doing outside of that? I've submitted my application. Who am I connecting with in the organization? Is there a recruitment agency that I could connect with that might know this company or have a connection there? It's about what you do after the job application in terms of your own follow-up and trying to engage with the right people. So, yeah, aside from being quite specific with the roles you're applying for, then implementing an actual strategy as to connecting with the right people within that organization or wherever you're looking for that job, for sure.
Yeah.
That would be a problem as well.
Do you see the differences between the American labor market and Australian, and what's that look like?
Yeah, I would say here it's a lot more common for people to encourage people to apply for more, because there are more opportunities here, definitely, from what I've seen. I've been here for about 5 months now, and it is true what they say. There is a lot of opportunity over here in the US, but there's also a lot of people, like 300 million people in the country.
Yeah.
So you're still up against tough competition, but there are more options for you. So that's what I will say, which is why people say in the US, apply for more. But I feel like back in Australia, what has worked more for the clients I've worked with is being more strategic in their approach to the roles they're applying for. But a lot of people that work in the career space here will recommend to literally apply for like 100 jobs in a week, because the jobs are here. So you have that option. But yeah, that's a key difference I do notice here a bit.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cutthroat.
Yeah. The difference of New York and Newcastle.
Oh my gosh. It's so intense.
Yeah.
I've been to a few networking events, and you know, like in Australia, if you go to a networking event and you're like talking yourself up, saying how good you are and what you've achieved in your life, everyone's like, calm down. You know, no one wants to really hear that. Here, you have to do that. I went to my first networking event to get to know, and you know, there's job seekers there, people that are trying to get their name known, all of that. And people will come to you and approach you and ask what your career is, what your career story, and you're pitching yourself to people that you don't even know. And they expect you to talk about your achievements and list it all off and be extremely brazen and confident about it. So that was a big bit of a shock to the system. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people want to hear about all my achievements here. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no tall poppy syndrome here. Perhaps the complete opposite of that. It's like I don't know, people just have this real confidence in themselves and just want to just pitch themselves to everyone. It's a very different energy, I would say.
Yeah. And you may not know, because you've mainly been in New York, but is that a New York thing or is that an American
thing? I think it's more intensified here in New York because it is so competitive. here, I feel like it would be pretty similar across the country, but it, yeah, definitely, you know, if you're going to like LA or San Fran, those kind of areas, yes. But New York, I think it's a bit intensified.
Yeah. That's good. It's a good different experience. So yeah, really keen to dive into talking about AI. So you've started Chloe AI. Maybe just present what it is that Chloe AI is, and then we'll dig into some conversation around it.
Absolutely. So Chloe AI is essentially having a career coach assistant in your pocket. So it's similar foundations to your ChatGPT. The actual Chloe AI is a GPT product. So, but the main difference is that the foundations of Chloe AI and how it was built was through all of my online content, my education, you know, educational videos and tutorials I've done with clients. So what it's been built from is very specific to careers, job search, career development, because the whole GPT, as they call it, is based on job search and careers. It's not like a ChatGPT where that literally covers anything and everything. So very specific. Chloe AI will help you throughout your entire job search process. It's all there. It's there for career development purposes as well. If you're having a bad day, you can just jump on and say, "Hey, Chloe, I'm feeling really lost in my career. Can you help me?" And she'll, I call her she. Like, I think I'm identifying with Chloe AI. And she'll respond and say, "Oh, sometimes we do have a bad day and that's okay." You know, she'll give you reassuring words of advice, but essentially can support you through every single stage of, finding a job, developing your career, career pathways, career clarity, interview role playing. You can speak into Chloe AI and do like an interview session with her. It's extremely comprehensive across that entire job search spectrum, I would say.
Yeah, nice. And what was your motivation for Chloe AI?
Yeah, so what I was finding is as my follower base was growing, the demand for one-on-one coaching was getting really high. And you know, obviously my time is, I can only give out my time so much. And I really wanted to get to a point where the people that were commenting on my videos, following me, and the people that were working one-on-one with me, they all had an access point to my, I guess, knowledge and what I can share about being a successful job seeker and building your career. And so I thought, what is a way for people to be able to access my knowledge base and my experience and expertise anywhere, anytime, any place? And I thought, oh, maybe I should build an AI product where it's me in AI. So in terms of where it's at right now, Chloe AI is all like essentially text-based, but eventually we want it to be more and more like they're literally speaking to me. So it is, you know, the inspiration around it was for job seekers all around the world to be able to access a career coach assistant without, you know, paying some kind of fee or feeling that they're getting information that might be a bit broad on ChatGPT, but feeling they're getting that personalized approach with the convenience of it being on their phone or in their pocket kind of thing.
Yeah. And what isn't Chloe AI? So like, obviously you've explained what it is. What isn't it?
I would say it is not, it's not a copy and paste function. As in, when I say that, and I was talking to a client about this today, you'll put in your CV and say, "Hey, Chloe, can you make this ATS friendly, match it to this job description, make me a standout candidate." She'll do all of those things and that's great, but it's a foundation. It's like a baseline for you to then make it your own from there. And that's always going to be my advice for any kind of AI. You can take the AI product, but that's not your own work. So if you're presenting your CV, your LinkedIn, you're practicing interview questions, like you need to find a way to incorporate your own voice and your own tone, because when you build you build your CV with Chloe AI, there's going to be an element of my voice in there because it's me. So you need to look at that and go, okay, I might not say that word, so I'm going to make a few adjustments here and there. So I would say that's what it isn't. Like, it's not just like a 100% solution to having a new CV and LinkedIn. Like, you need to still make it your own. And I will always emphasize that for sure.
And so, and this is where I'm just going to get really curious, because I've been thinking about AI myself and how, well, and even more broadly, like as I've thought about career development and technology and how those two can be coming together and complementing the work of career development and supporting people yeah. in their careers. And so so when it comes to this tool, and so it's obviously drawing off of your content and stuff, is it still drawing from other sources as well, or is it purely drawing from only content that you've created?
So it is drawing from other sources, yes, but the foundation of how it's created and the content that comes out all comes back to what I've built. Anything, I guess you could say, the tone of voice, the style, the inspiration, anything that comes out of it, their starting point is the information I have, and then it's built out from there using other yeah. information. I think, yeah, there's like a 50-page document or something that has all of these different pieces of content and resources. So that's what it's built. It's, yeah, as I said, it's the foundation. And then it goes.
Yeah,
there.
So it's sort of like it's guide, and then it'll be mm-hmm. pulling from other information.
Yeah.
Does it have measures there that says, like, if the information it finds outside of that 50-page document, like, contradicts mm. yours, that it's sort of yours overrides it sort of thing?
Yeah, I don't think it's, we would have the issue that it would be like contradicting what I would say, but we always put like I guess it's not a waiver, but it's a disclaimer that this is a resource. You know, sometimes you do need to check your facts, check your information. Like AI is still, there's still like elements of AI that are being built, and it is still a growing sector. Like it is changing the landscape entirely, but you know, if you're unsure about something, or if you want to double check, cross check anything, like that's always going to be a disclaimer that this is a resource. It's not, you know, there may be a differing opinion elsewhere kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I was using ChatGPT recently because I'm working on like a foundation of a course and stuff. And so I've been for a long time, like thinking through the content and stuff that I wanted to do. But then I was using AI just to help me sort of write some of the paragraphs of the different sections that I'd set out. And I was sort of giving it its prompts of the topics and how I wanted the conversation and stuff to go, just to get all the bulk text in, and also sourcing data for me.
Yeah.
And then I was going back through and sort of fact checking the data and where those sources had come from, and I was asking it to supply me the sources that it's pulled from and the articles and stuff, so that I could go back and read them myself. And so it's one of those things where it like breaks down a whole lot of work, but you still essentially got to go back through and rewrite it how you, one, like with your voice, like you were saying, but then mm-hmm. also actually fact checking all that stuff and tying things up, because
yeah.
one of the things I noticed was it was sort of summarizing things, but then when the way that it had summarized it wasn't actually accurate to the way that mm-hmm. it had worded it, because it was like one of the things I was looking for was stats on gratitude in the workplace and the positive effect it can have. And it was, and then the data that it gave me was saying 31% of grateful people like perform better or saying a workout, saying along those lines. And then I was like, can you give me the article that you're citing there? And then when I was reading the article, it was saying around 31% of happy workers are
right.
more effective. And it was then giving me its reasoning. Yeah, and it had sort of connected some dots. And it's like, it's not to say that that is a wrong statement, though mm-hmm. in the when you're presenting a 31% X, it's yeah. like you want to be actually citing the exact right thing, you know, so.
For sure.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just an interesting process, and it's about people understanding this mm-hmm. isn't this some like slap and go thing and yeah, take absolutely. It all as gospel. Yeah.
For sure. And it's an interesting point you make around like the fact checking piece, you know, like if we're going to go do research on something specific, you probably want to go like, look at a research paper, like ChatGPT will give you, as you say, like a summary of it or like a broad sense of it. But to kind of get that confirmation of what you're looking at, the specific research paper in that area is where you're going to get the most precise result. An example of how this might contribute or might relate to getting your CV redone is, you know, Chloe, I might produce a new CV for you, and she'll say, you need more quantifiable data in your dot points. You know, someone might have a CV and it's kind of just listing their jobs as like responsibilities, as opposed to this is what I've done. These are the outcomes I've delivered, the impact I've had. And so she might say something like, I delivered a 30% increase on customer satisfaction. And like the 30% has just been like a number she's pulled. So it's like, okay, well, she's saying, rephrase your bullet point like this. Here's an example percentage, but obviously this is not right. You need to figure that out yourselves. Yeah, it is. They'll give you like the framework and then you take it from there. I will also add on that though, that yes, you've got to add your own, I guess, you've got to do a little bit of the work there, but it's still the time you're saving, the increased effectiveness, the increase, I don't know, you're just like, you're spending like less than half the time you usually would on like that admin part of the process. So yeah, you're having to do a little bit of work, but it's still cutting your time in more than half for sure.
Yeah. And like the research piece, like say if you're looking for data and it's like, yeah, okay, it hasn't pulled me all the exact data that I want, but it's taken me to, it's now provided me all the different resources that I want to go find for that topic. And it's like,
yeah,
if you're like, for me, like I'm working on this course, the first module, I'm looking at all the different mindsets that could be helpful for someone to be advancing their career, feeling engaged in their career, all this stuff. So I'm looking at like, maybe 10 to 15 different mindsets. It's like if you were just going to be ground up going searching the internet and libraries and Google Scholar to try and find all the different sources for all those different topics to then find some data and then making sure that that's actually now relevant data and new data. It's like you just need something that breaks the back of it and you get the outline, you get a source, you get all these different, and then you can work through it. And it's just like, so I've essentially got my whole draft written in my time off from work in my work holidays that I can now chip away at, you know, refining it to the next point, next level. And I just couldn't have done that.
No, it's incredible how it can save you time and help you become more productive. I think another thing that it really helps with is job search fatigue. I speak to a lot of people that are feeling pretty exhausted. They've gone through the hoops. They've, you know, been applying for months. They've gotten a few interview processes, and it's just such a slog to have to every day, like, put together applications, apply. Like it's a lot of work. So another reason why Chloe AI was so important to me was to help people reduce that job search fatigue by taking some of the tasks off their hands or making their load a bit lighter, but also avoiding job search burnout. So you don't want to get burnt out in your job before you even start a new job. You don't want to get burnt out in your job search before you start a job. So that's
By the time you're starting really your new job, you're already exhausted.
You're like, oh God, I can't do it anymore. It's like your day one.
What would you, and how have you thought about the fears that people have around AI? I think quite broadly about this. I very much have a mindset of, well, I want the good players to be engaging with AI so that we don't just step back because we have moral or ethical concerns and so we just don't engage with it. So I do want to engage with it, and I have that sort of mindset. But I also do appreciate and understand and even agree with a lot of the concerns that people have as well.
Yeah.
So how have you sort of approached that and thought through that and things like that?
For sure. And it is a bit of a push and pull thing for some people. And I totally agree. I think it makes a lot of sense to have a bit of fear around it and like who's really controlling it all and who has the power. And, you know, it is like this, a bit of an unknown, right? And I think it's a similar effect and impact as to when the internet came, like when the internet was born. You know, the internet completely changed everything. And everyone was a little bit scared of it at the start, and now it's just a way of life. Like, obviously, we can't live without it. And I think that's like where AI is kind of at the moment. There's this real sense of unknown. Everyone's thinking it's taking everyone's jobs, and it is this thing. It's like, I don't want it to be forced upon me. I don't agree with it. I don't want to use it. But we're only really scared of it because it is fairly unknown still. The security around it, where are we getting all this information from? All of that. I think all these factors come into play. But I think it's hard because I don't want to say you have to use it, otherwise you're not going to get ahead. But there is that element to it, you know. If I'm being completely honest, and I'm sure you know this, Alex, like so many organizations now, when you put your application through, they're being read by AI programs. And so that whole like having your resume that's ATS friendly means that it's being able to be read by an AI software. Your CV isn't being read by a human when it first touches the application process. So if you're not okay with AI and or what it can do and how it can help you and you're avoiding it, you kind of will be left behind a little bit. So I think if people are hesitant on it, I would probably just encourage you to use it where you absolutely have to. Like, it doesn't have to be something that I think, like, a lot of people say, oh, you're crazy if you're not using it in your everyday life. Like, you can be changing your life. It can make everything so much easier for you. You don't need to have it as every part of your life or every part of your job. But I think there are certain areas like applying for jobs, helping you with your CV. These are the areas where it is going to really help you, and you kind of need to embrace it to stay ahead and to remain competitive and to be, and to actually be successful in a job search. So I guess a bit long-winded, but yeah, don't feel like you have to have it in every part of your life, but there, you know, look at the ways where it can actually benefit you. And I think what is also really trending at the moment in the job market and is going to really spike is employers wanting their employees to have AI skills, because AI is coming into a lot of different work. It is coming into a lot of different roles. People's entire job descriptions are changing because of the influence AI will have. So your employers are going to want you to upskill in AI. So again, if you're not going to embrace it, then there's the risk of you losing work because you're not wanting to embrace it or take it on. I think that's, people are going to see big changes there. Having AI skills is going to be a desired skill set for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure it's like the most training courses being taken up at the moment around AI. A lot of the conversation I hear from people is around like AI won't take your job, but someone that knows how to use AI will.
Absolutely. That's a really good way of looking at it.
And the skill set of AI prompting will be extremely valuable, because then once we are in a world, and you would presume it will be so, that nearly all of us are in some way using AI, even if we don't even realize, because half the tools that you use now, like this Riverside that we're recording on right now, has AI tools to help me edit. You know, and it cuts up short snippets for me and stuff like that. And so you're going to need to use it, and it's going to be there. It's going to be integrated into all the different tools that we use. But being able to prompt well is going to be a really important skill. Would you maybe want to speak to, and you could speak to it in the context of Chloe AI, like what does it look like to be writing good prompts for AI so that you're getting as accurate and good results as what you need?
Yes, another great, great topic. It's one thing to know about the software. It's a whole other thing to be able to use it properly. When I actually launched Chloe AI, I got my clients to test it for me. And it was really interesting, the feedback I got, because some people that were perhaps in specific industries where they're very analytical, very detail focused, the prompts they were putting in were highly specific and very detailed. But then other people from other industries were putting in prompts, and to no fault to their own, because they didn't, you know, it's a new program, it's something new for them to use. The prompts they were putting in were quite vague, and so what they were getting was perhaps not what they were seeking. So in terms of getting the right prompts, you need to be as specific as possible. So the more information you give Chloe AI or any kind of AI software, to be honest, the more specific and detailed you are, the better response you're going to get. For example, gosh, I could flick across to like a resume. Like if you're wanting to like get your resume updated, like, you need to do more than update my resume and upload your resume. It needs to be, please update my, you don't have to say please. I just put that, update my resume.
I do it too.
You don't have to say please. It's like, please be nice to me. Update my resume to be ATS friendly. I am, I'm a data analyst in the tech sector. This is my level. Please provide any extra keywords or skills and experience I should be adding. These are the types of jobs I'm applying for. And then you put in your resume. So it's just giving it as much detail as possible to get the best result. What I will say is, if people listen to that and go, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to think of like a really good prompt, I'm not going to get the best results, I would encourage you to keep trying, because You can just keep asking it. If it's not giving you what you need, just ask them another prompt. Say, write if it gives you the resume and it's not exactly what you want, please rewrite it and add this. Please rewrite it and make it sound more like this. And it will just keep spitting out the information that you're asking for. And also it will ask you questions at the end. So it'll say, do you want me to give you anything further? Do you want me to specify anything more around your keywords? Do you want me to provide any suggestions on a job description? Please paste it in if you'd like that. It's going to keep prompting you to prompt it.
And your first prompt could be, what prompt should I give, right?
Yeah, totally. I think if you open Chloe AI, I've got four prompts there for you. I think the first one is, how can you help me in my job search? And so that'll be like a little, hey, I'm Chloe AI. Or I think one of the other ones is, I'm feeling stuck in my career. What's your best advice? Or what are the answers for common interview questions? So it will give you some ideas as to what you might want to use. But I think the most common one would be, please update my resume to be X, Y, and Z. But as you said, you can literally say, if you're unsure about a prompt, what should I ask you if I want to update my resume? And she'll tell you what prompt you should use.
It's like, what details do you need to give me accurate information? Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's really interesting. I think it's one of those things because it feels new and foreign to us and we're not used to this way of engaging with technology. Like, there's all these things that we just don't think to do because you think it breaks the rules. Or it's like,
yeah.
Or like, yeah, we just sort of box ourselves into thinking, I have to come up with all this. And it's like, no, even just the engaging with it stage, you can be getting its insights because it will it's just pulling together all the different drop points. I use it for things like when I'm brainstorming, like I was thinking through a company name.
Yeah.
And so I just got it. And it's like, I know I've always been sort of good at ideating, you know, this drawing lots of ideas and stuff, but it just helps so much to go like, okay, give me 20 names in line with this sort of theme. And then it gives, and then it's like, oh, give me 10 more with that theme. And it's just generating more. And then you can be assessing them and that this speeds up that process. And I ended up going with something that wasn't any of those, but it just got me thinking little bits would jump out and then you sort of connect the dots and you get all of that information so quickly that you do something in 10 minutes that would have taken you like 15 pages of paper in 2 hours, you know, and a whole lot of menial aspects to it that this drag on.
For sure. And I think a lot of the time we're just staring at a blank piece of paper. It's like, my brain's really tired. Like I can't come up with ideas all the time or what I need to write. So just having that prompter or having that Chloe AI or whatever it is that you want to use to just give you that starter, like writing a cover letter, you know, oh my gosh, I have to start from scratch to write an entire cover letter. Cool. Get it to write it for you and then say, okay, sweet, I can take that and make it my own. Great. And it just, you know, you don't have to use your brain as hard. That's what the other people are saying, like, we're not using our brains well. It's like, well, I guess, yes, you could say like our brains have been lazy, but also you could say I'm having to think about how I can use AI. So you're just using your brain in a different way.
Yeah, that's it. It's about you're not doing it to be lazy. Like you're doing it to be lazy.
Sometimes I do.
Well, you might be, but in terms of getting the best out of it, if you're just trying to outsource all of your thinking, it's going to catch up with you. But if you're really engaging with it and then still then applying your critical thinking and all this stuff, you can really get some good stuff produced quickly. And for someone like me that's a terrible speller, terrible writer, it's like it's just a good way to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, it's just a bit of inspiration instead of being a blank page.
Hmm.
That's what I say. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chloe, thank you so much for coming on, chatting through this topic. I'm really excited to see where things go for you and following
thank
along.
You.
How can people find you, get in touch and hear more about what you're doing?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me, Alex. It's been really exciting to talk about everything Chloe AI and what I've been up to. So thank you again. People can find me on socials, Instagram and TikTok under Career Coach Chloe. You can find me on LinkedIn, Chloe Spillane, standard. Chloe AI is, you can access Chloe AI through my LinkedIn. There's a link, or you can go to my Instagram. There's a link in my bio as well. I do take applications for one-on-one coaching if people want to work with me private coaching. That application is through my Instagram as well. And I'm actually launching a new program this week that people can check out. It's a the Job Seeker Portal. It's a monthly subscription where people get 2 live Q&A calls with me per month. They have access to me as well and all of my online resources. So that's coming this week, as well as another handy AI tool. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Sounds really exciting. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And let's connect on LinkedIn so that we can keep the conversation going. Or head to my website and download my free resource, The Career Building Principles. Bye for now.